Greetings and good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thanks, but that was pretty weak. That's much better. This morning, with you, I'd like to look at a story in which Jesus talks to a group of fishermen. In this story, at the start of the action, there's a group of people who are just listeners. They're just a bunch of people standing around listening to Jesus, and in the midst of that group are these fishermen. And that's how the story starts. That's all they are, is people who are hearing him. And when the story ends, these fellows have left everything to follow Jesus. We see in this scene the transition from listening only to becoming an active participant in the work that Jesus is doing in the world. Now, I'll tell you why I chose this story for this morning. We've been listening to Jesus all summer. And I believe this with all of my heart, with my experience, with what I've seen in my own life and the lives of others, that when Jesus speaks, he means for people to hear in such a way that they go from just sitting back and listening to becoming people who are active in doing the work that he's up to in the world. I've experienced this myself in my own life. I've seen it in the lives of many. And I'm convinced that the future that is before every single one of you in this theater, the thing that you were made for, is to listen to Jesus, and then when you hear, to become active in the work that he's doing in the world. This is, I believe, the thing that God means for every one of you young people in here, for all of you folks who are adults, full-fledged adults, and you're not afraid to admit it, for those of you who are older. Every single one of us is called by this gracious Lord Jesus to hear his words and then to do something. And that's what we see with perfect clarity in the story that I want us to look at this morning. As we continue in this series of hearing the words that Jesus spoke, we are going to find our way now to the Gospel of Luke. And if you'd like to follow along in your Bible, find chapter 5. And the story is, it's just 11 verses. It begins at the beginning of chapter 5 of Luke's Gospel. And it goes through verse 11. And we're going to take this story in some bite-sized bits here so that we can pause and see what we're learning at each step. So let me begin with Luke's story as it unfolds in chapter 5. Here's the scene. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. And then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. The Lake of Gennesaret, that's also called the Sea of Galilee, was the fishing center of this region. North of the Dead Sea, fed by the River Jordan, this body of water would have been the local economic place where business happened. It was a fishing center. The scene begins in the morning, and Jesus is standing beside that lake, and he's teaching. He's speaking, and people have come to listen to what he says. And there's not just a few people. The crowds are pressing in upon him. It's becoming crowded. And the reason there are so many people there is because when Jesus speaks, Luke tells us that the people came to hear the word of God. I want to pause for a moment. I want to ask for some help here. If Matt is in the crowd, would you fix this? It's spread out and it's going to be hard for folks to read. While that's being worked on, I want you to listen to this for a moment. When Jesus speaks, the words he says, according to Luke here, are the words of God. I want you to think, is Matt Agresti here or not?
I'll go get him.
If someone could grab Matt, that'd be great. All right, and don't look up there. Look at me. Pretend that's not there. Put your hand over or something. Listen now. When Jesus spoke that morning, everybody's looking there. And seriously, would you put something in front of it? It's very distracting. Okay, thank you. All right. Okay. Yes! All right. Thank you. Thanks very much. Okay. All right, let's come back. Ready? All right. Jesus is teaching on the shore. He says things like this. You ready? He says, everyone who's weary and tired and heavy burdened, all of you whose life is too much, come to me. Don't run away. Come near me. I want you to be near me, because if you come to me and listen, I'll teach you. And if you listen to what I say, your soul will have the rest that you so long for. Are your souls tired? Come here. Drop that heavy load that you carry, the thing that's weighing you down that you've been dragging along with you through life. Let it go. You listen to me and I'll give you something good to carry. It will be work. It will be a task. I'll give you something like a yoke. You put that on your shoulders though and you'll find rest for your souls. When Jesus said that, it wasn't just the words of a good man. It was the words of a good man. It wasn't just the words of a very compelling teacher. They were his words too, but it was the word of God. And those people that morning standing beside the lake, as they heard Jesus speak, they heard God speak right to their hearts. Come here, you weary folk. And I'll give you rest for those hearts of yours. Jesus said, follow me. I know that you're going about your lives following all kinds of other things. I know the temptations. I know all of the insecurities that you have and the fears and the worries that drag you this way and that. And I know you're following all of them, but stop. Follow me instead. Oh, trust me, it will be good. Let go of everything and you follow me. You'll have lost nothing. Deny yourself. Even take up a cross and follow me, Jesus says. Don't wait until tomorrow. Don't worry about what everyone else in the world thinks of you. I know how it vexes your heart when you see them looking at you, but forget them. Look at me. Come with me. It will be so good. Follow me and I'll give you real life. You try to cling to your life in any other way and you'll only be grasping after death. But let it go and come with me and you'll have real life. That's what Jesus was saying that morning. And do you know, when he spoke, they weren't hearing the words of a man, they were hearing God. This summer, all summer, we've been listening to Jesus' words. Some of you have felt God himself addressing your hearts, haven't you? As he speaks, something awakens in you. That's your spirit. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. That morning, that's what was happening. And the crowds were many. There was no room. And then off to the side on the shore there are two fishing boats that come up. They make landfall. They're filled with ordinary fishermen. These are guys whose job it was to catch fish. All night long they've been fishing. They pull the boats ashore. They take the nets out of the boats, but you know what they don't have in their boat? Not a single fish. Only a fisherman who's fished all night long and not caught anything knows what that's like. It's still pretty good, right, if you like fishing? But not if it's your job. These guys had worked all night, and they got nothing. And so they're washing their nets, and now the crowd is so big, it envelops them. So they, without meaning to, have become a part of the crowd. That means that without trying to, these fellows have suddenly also become people who hear Jesus. Sort of by mistake, they hear what he says. You know that in this room there are some people who have sort of by mistake become listeners to Jesus? Do any of you know that that's what you are? Let me tell you what I mean. When I was in high school and middle school, my parents made me go to the youth group. And at first I didn't want to go. But then I liked going. You know why? The ladies. There were some cute girls that I had a crush on, and so it wasn't so bad. And also, I got to be out of the house on a school night. And that, for me, was reason enough to go. And so I went week after week. Now, that's why I was there, but do you know what happened while I was there? I accidentally started hearing Jesus. I didn't mean to, but I heard the stories of him, and I heard what he had to say, and it began to move me and become compelling. And I know for some of you that's happening here, that's not a mistake. Well, there Jesus is teaching, and there the crowds are, and now these fishermen who are hearing, and do you know, something starts to stir in their hearts too. Because they're hearing what they've never heard before, which is God himself addressing them. And then what happens next is what the first thing that I really mean for all of you to see this morning with this story. What happens next is what I believe God means to happen every time someone starts to listen. And it is this: that Jesus comes over to those fishermen directly, and he speaks right to them, and what he does is he challenges them to change from being people who just listen to becoming people who actually get involved in the work that he's doing. Okay, the way it happens here is in verse 3, Jesus gets into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and then he turns to this fisherman and he says, put the boat out a little bit from the shore, I need somewhere to continue teaching. The crowds apparently were so great that Jesus needed to be able to step back, but the water was there. And so he comes to Peter and he says, you have a boat. I need a boat. I want you to put me in this boat and take me out from the shore so that I can keep doing what I came here for. Listen now. This is for every one of you. It's for me too. When we begin to listen, if we really will listen, there will be a time when Jesus comes right to us and says, you have something that I want. Something that I need. And I want you to give it to me so I can keep doing the work that I'm up to. Doesn't have to be fancy or religious. Doesn't have to be a holy thing. It can be a very ordinary thing. In Peter's case, it was a boat that belonged to him since he was a professional fisherman. In your case, it could be anything. It has to be something. It can't be some imaginary thing. It has to be something that you actually have. Maybe it is a boat for you. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's your car, or some time that you have, or the fact that you have a year free where you could go live in Georgia. Maybe it's your ability to speak Spanish or speak English. Anything that you actually have is potentially the thing that Jesus will come to you and say, hey, you who's been listening, it's time for you to get involved in what I'm doing. And what I want is this. I mean it. I am sure that Jesus means to say that to every one of you. For me, let me be autobiographical. When I was first a listener to Jesus, when I became an overhearer at youth group, I went off to college and I didn't have much to do with God. I got involved in a Bible study and someone there said to me, hey, you were involved in a youth group as a high school kid. Was that good for you? And the truth was yes. And then I learned that the youth group where I went, they needed volunteers to work with the students. They needed college students, and I was a college student, who'd be willing to come on Wednesday evening to that church for a half an hour, 45 minutes, and sit with those high school students and try to moderate discussions with them. That was it. Someone asked me if I would do it. I reflect on that back now and I say, you know, that was a moment, I think, where Jesus was coming over to me like he did here to Peter, and he said to me, hey, you have a boat, I need it. Put me in it, let's go. I'm telling you the truth. When I got to that youth group, I didn't talk about God. I didn't know anything about the Bible hardly. I wasn't a compelling teacher or anything like that. I just sat there and I helped out with the students. Some of you in here, some of you are meant to hear Jesus saying to you, get involved in the student ministries at Outreach Red Bank. Jared, where's Jared? Jared, you have a number of folks who work with you. Is that right? Yeah, the door's not closed. There's high school students who very much would benefit from the involvement of one of you, perhaps. Is that okay, Jared? Can I say that up here? Yeah. Very severe interview process to get involved, isn't it? That's one of many, many possible ways that any one of you might listen to Jesus and hear what he always says, which is, you have something that I want, you give it to me and get involved. It could be student ministries. It could be children's ministry here at the church on Sunday morning. It could be ESL, which meets during the week, teaching people in our community who don't speak English how to speak English. It could be many other things, women's ministry, men's ministry. It very well could be, for many of you, something that has nothing to do with the ministry of this community. Maybe it's the way that you'll choose to interact with your neighbor, or your family, or your workers, or your employees, or your employer. I must say this, and then we'll move on. For every single one of us, the call from Jesus, if we've been listening, to get involved will be as specific and concrete as it was here for Peter. You have a boat, let me use it. Now, I don't know what your boat is, but you got one. And I know that Jesus means you as a listener to put it into his hands so he can keep doing the work he's going to do. That is a very good first step toward becoming someone who's an active participant. And that's, of course, not where the story ends. It unfolds, and it's got a next step, which I think is also quite dramatic, and I think very, very good for each of us to pay attention to. Because after Peter does this first thing, after he lets Jesus use his boat to continue teaching, Jesus finishes up his teaching, and then he turns to Peter, and he makes a second request of him. Now, before we read it, I'm just going to tell you what it is. I'm going to tell you what it boils down to, because I want you to get this. Jesus asks Peter to do something that Peter will only do if he chooses to trust Jesus. And that, my friends, that second step of discipleship is always the thing that each of us is meant to take. Listen again. It's a step where we choose to trust Jesus. He'll tell us, all of us, if we begin to get involved with him, he'll tell us to do things that we will think are the wrong things to do. We just will. And what happens here is Peter is challenged to trust that Jesus knows better than he does. Watch this. This is remarkable. Okay, verse 4. When Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, oh, by the way, I've been calling him Peter. I notice there's someone laughing here. He's not yet Peter. This guy Simon's name is going to be changed to Peter. Would you forgive me? Yes? Will you? Okay, great. Thank you. Listen to what he says to Simon, who's also going to call Peter. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets. This right here is absolutely magnificent. We need to know a little bit about fishing customs before we see how odd this is. Peter is a professional fisherman, and Jesus is not. Okay? If you yourself are an avid fisherman, and some goofball who's never cast a line tells you what to do, what do you think in your minds? Come on, somebody who's a fisherman. Perfect. Exactly. Right? First of all, Peter's an expert, and Jesus is not, and everybody knows it. Second of all, Peter and his friends have been out fishing all night long, and they've caught nothing. They are bound to be very tired, and every fisherman knows that sometimes the fish don't bite. It's very often a function of the weather. If there was a full moon on the previous evening, the fish might have eaten all night because of that light, and now they're not hungry. It could be the barometric pressure. It could be stuff that we don't know about, but every fisherman knows. You fish all night, you don't catch anything, it's time to give up. There's a third factor here. They were fishing all night, and afterward they cleaned their nets, so it's going to be inconvenient. But listen now. The nets that they would have used would have been woven out of linen. Very strong and sturdy to catch a big haul of fish. But since they're woven from linen, you know what happens in the daytime? They're visible to the fish. And so if they're dropped down, the fish see and immediately swim away. That means that the advice that Jesus gives to Peter here makes no sense. A fisherman would know that this fellow, even if he means well, does not know what he's talking about, and therefore his guidance should not be heeded. There's no reason that Peter has, based on his experience, on social convention, on the night he just had, on his expertise, to listen to Jesus, because he knows better. But then, did you see what Peter says? There's a phrase here that Peter speaks that I submit would be an excellent phrase for every one of us to memorize and then learn to repeat whenever Jesus tells us to do something that we think we know better about. Yet, if you say so. Why did Peter say this? I suppose that it was the experience of being around Jesus as he taught that made Peter know, even if I'm sure this guy's wrong, I know I should trust him. There's something about his way. There's something about his words and his demeanor. There's something about this man's presence that teaches me I should trust him. And so when Jesus gives him guidance that seems altogether wrong, Peter does what every disciple is going to be challenged to do if he or she begins to follow Jesus, and that is to say this phrase, yet if you say so. Now I'll tell you right now that Jesus will tell you to do things that you think he's wrong about. I'm sure of it. Here's one. You ready? If someone messes up and does you wrong, forgive them 7 times 70. In your mind, you might think, no, I've given this person 2 or 3 chances. They've shown that they're not trustworthy, and I'm done with them. But then along comes Jesus and says, don't forgive them just 2 or 3 times. Forgive them 7 times 70. And in your heart, you say, oh, Jesus, you just don't know this person. Right? You've not experienced them like I have. Oh, they're so rotten. Oh, I understand the principle behind what you're saying, and those are great intentions, Jesus, but you just don't know this person. Do you know Jesus does know them? He knows everyone. Jesus says to you, when your enemy strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other one. You say, well, oh, that I think Jesus means well there, but we can't apply his teaching to every encounter with an enemy. He said, love your enemies and pray for them, but in this case, maybe he means bomb them. I hope this makes you a little uncomfortable. It makes me uncomfortable. Jesus is constantly telling us things that are plain. And we constantly say, well, he just doesn't know. Here's one for you high school students. And you youngsters, ready? Respect your parents. Honor your father and mother. Treat them with dignity. I see some of you shifting in your seats. Well, Jesus just doesn't know my parents. My mom is so dreadful, he can't possibly know. Sorry, Mom. No, Jesus knows. Reach out to the outcast. Put yourself right beside the one that everyone else is shunning and treating miserably in school. Even if you lose popularity and become an outcast yourself, Jesus says, do it. And you say, well, he can't understand the pressures that are on me as a student these days. He can't understand how hard it is to be in the place that I'm in. And on it goes. Listen, all the time Jesus is telling us to do things that are concrete and specific. And over again, you and I will be like a fisherman who's an expert who says, but we fished all night and we caught nothing. We have the wrong nets. And nobody fishes in the daytime here, and it's not going to work. The challenge for every one of us who listens and then gets invited to be involved is that there will be a day when Jesus tells us to do something that we think we know better than he does. And what we ought to do is just what Peter does here, and that is, yet if you say so. Don't worry about what you wear and about what you eat. Trust me. That's what Jesus says. And we might say, well, we have to worry. No. If you say so, Jesus, do it. Love others more than yourself. Oh, but I'm the center of everything, Jesus. No, trust him. Become great. Become the greatest by becoming the servant of all. But inside you say, no, Jesus, I want everyone to serve me. I want the center of everything. I want. And Jesus says, no, give. Trust me. And like Peter, all of you are meant to say, Jesus, I've fished all night, but if you say so. Now look at what happens. When Peter chooses, when he chooses to listen to Jesus, look what it says in verse 6 here. When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break, so they signaled their partners on the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. And that's a very, very simple lesson here. Listen to Jesus even when you think he's wrong, and it will be the very best thing. It will be the very best thing every time you choose to listen to him. That's the lesson here. It's not a lesson, listen now, it's not a lesson about you follow Jesus and you'll become economically prosperous. And people would want to twist it into that. It's true that for a boat of fishermen to catch so many fish that they needed two boats to haul it in, that would be like winning the lottery in this day. And everybody who heard the story would know, these guys are now rich. But that's not the point. You know why? They leave it all behind at the end. I gave that away at the beginning of the sermon. It's not about getting rich for following Jesus. This is a lesson that is meant to press it into Peter's heart, that your instinct, Peter, to say, if you say so, was the right one. Because every time Jesus tells you to do this thing, and you know it's the wrong thing, but you choose anyway to do it, it is the very best thing for you. That's what this point means. Now watch what happens next. This is absolutely wonderful. Peter and his friends are there in the boats. They're overflowing with fish. They bring it into the shore. Here's what it says. Verse 8, but when Simon Peter saw it, when he saw what happened when he listened to Jesus, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. These men in the boat, they're absolutely and altogether astounded by what took place. They all knew it wasn't supposed to happen. And that means when Jesus told them to do it, and they did it, when they saw what took place, they were all absolutely sure that God himself was present. And in the presence of God, they are amazed. They're astounded. They can't believe the power they've just seen come out of this man. And it frightens them. Have any of you ever seen the power of God at work in a mighty way? In ordinary events of life, suddenly something extraordinary takes place. A person is transformed. An atmosphere of evil and wickedness is just taken away like a wind. Something very good comes out of something very bad. You see God's activity. That's what happened here. They see God's power and activity, and they're stunned. And then what happens is Peter seeing the brightness of that light in Jesus, he sees himself in a way he's never seen himself before. And this also will happen to every one of us if we get close to Jesus. If we come into Jesus' presence and listen, if we give him something that's ours so that we can get involved in his work, and if then we begin to trust him even when it seems like maybe we shouldn't, if that happens, his light will shine so brightly that we will see everything about ourselves that we wish we didn't have there. In Peter's words, in the presence of this good man Jesus, he looks at himself and he says, "I am nothing but a sinner." In the presence of Jesus' goodness, you can't hide everything about you that is wrong. Has anyone else ever encountered this? You don't have to say it, but would someone nod if you have? That you get close to Jesus and you suddenly look at yourself and, well, you're amazed that he would be with you because you're so unworthy.
Amen.
Yeah. Someone that knows it from experience. And what Peter does is absolutely perfect for us. You know, when this happens, you're going to want to hide who you really are from Jesus. Trust me, if you start to follow him, if you start to get involved, and you see there are parts of you that are not right, your impulse will be to hide it, to pretend it's not really you, to make an excuse for yourself, to pretend that's not really a part of your life. But look at what Peter does. He falls down at Jesus' knees, and he says, "I am a sinful man." That means he chooses not to hide anything about himself from Jesus, but just says, "Look, you've asked me to come and be a part of this. You've told me to do something. I see your power. I'm too messed up to be with you. I appreciate your help this morning, but get away from me because you're just too good and I'm just too bad." And I think maybe one of the reasons Peter thought that is the environment that he grew up in was an environment that taught that only holy and religious people are meant to be close to God. If you're messed up, you are pushed far away from him. If you've got some problems, some addiction that you can't master, some mistake in your past that you are ashamed of, some activity even in the present that you know is wrong, the religious environment that Simon was a part of taught him, if that's you, you shouldn't be around holy people. And so he says to Jesus, "Look, I got to be honest, here's who I am, get away." But watch what Jesus does. What Jesus does here is so powerful and so beautiful. To the man who's acknowledged his own misery right to Jesus' face, this is what Jesus says. "Then Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to be who you really are in Jesus' presence. Do not be afraid when you look at yourself and you say, sinner.'" If you are in Jesus' presence, no need to be afraid. You should be afraid if he's not gracious, but the fact is this Lord is altogether gracious. He looks at every one of you in your ruinous life. He gathers you close and says, "Don't be afraid. I know that you want to get away from me, but I want to be near you." And then Jesus goes on to say to Simon Peter the exact opposite of what Simon Peter said to him. Simon Peter says, "Get away from me because I'm a sinner." Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." And what he means is, you are going to be coming with me. I know that you want to get away, but I want you to come with me. And what this uncovers for us without any question about the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who is holy and whose words are the word of God, who speaks the word of God, who is perfectly powerful and all-sufficient. What these words tell us about him is he wants you to be with him. He wants all of you to participate with him in the work that he's doing. Now the summer is wrapping up. Next week I'm going to speak about the words of Jesus in this series of sermons, which I've been on now for the summer, one last time. And next week I'm going to talk about the way that Jesus closes one of his great sermons where he's teaching and he talks to people about what it means to follow him. I chose this story this morning because it's my hope that every one of you, every single one of you here, as you have listened to Jesus this summer, would have heard the word of God. And that word would speak to you not just in generalities or nice ideas, but in specific and concrete ways, so that you would look at your life, so you would take a look at what you've got in your hands and say, can I take a step where I start to get involved with this Jesus? Where I go from being a listener to an active participant with him, a co-worker. And then as you begin to do that, that you would be prepared for him to tell you things that you think he's wrong about, but that you would choose to listen. You choose to say, yet if you say so, Jesus. And then as you do this and you look at yourself in the mirror and you say, I think Jesus has got it wrong. I'm not good enough to be a follower of his. I'm not good enough to be someone who does his work with him. That you would remember this moment right here where Jesus comes to the Peter in the boat who says, I'm a sinner, and says, yes, yes, I know. Come with me. Come with me because I've got something for you that's so much better than what you've been doing. Yes, you've caught a lot of fish. You've even caught enough this morning to be rich for the rest of your life. But you come with me and I'll give you something better to do. And I'm sure of it that Jesus has something for every single one of us to do that's better than what we've been doing apart from him. Look, it says in verse 11, when they had brought their boats to shore, when they came in with all of that cash, they left everything and followed him. And what Luke wants us to know, the author of this story, and what Jesus Christ himself, the Word of God, would say to every one of us, if we say, how could they leave all that? It's this. Following Jesus, they left nothing. Everything that they put behind them to walk after Jesus is as nothing. Because to walk with this one is to walk from a past with a life that's nothing into a future where there's true life. And this year ahead of us, when we start this fall, I want this community of followers, of hearers of Jesus, that's what we are here, listeners, I want us as a gathering of people to begin saying, yes, we're ready to follow. We're ready to go where Jesus leads. We're ready to leave the things we have to leave and move off into the future with this brave, courageous, beautiful man who is the King of love, who is my shepherd, who calls me into life, who gave himself for me and now sets my feet on a path of new life. My friends, that is the adventure that we're invited on if we will listen truly to Jesus. And we don't go at it alone, we go at it with each other. And that is the calling, I believe, of this community here. Outreach Red Bank Community Church is a church that's called together to listen to Jesus and then respond by saying, if you say so, and then going off into the future that he leads us on. I'm going to pray now. I'm going to ask for the Holy Spirit's presence to continue being with us and inspiring us as we continue to worship and song. I want to ask the musicians to come up now as I pray. And I'll ask you all to pray with me silently as I lead us now. God, for this magnificent story in which we get to observe this dynamic movement for a number of fishermen from listeners to followers, we thank you. I thank you so much for the way it paints such a clear picture of your way. And I thank you for your gracious way that you would call ordinary folks like fishermen right in the places where they work, that you didn't spend all of your time in the temple or the holy places, but you were out in the world beckoning to those who were ordinary folks to follow you and to do work with you. And now, God, I especially thank you for this group of ordinary folks in this theater this morning. I thank you that for every one of us you have some good work to do, that you call us to set something of ours into your hands so that you can continue doing the work that you are doing now, and then that you call us to trust you. Oh, I thank you that that is at the heart of this faith, trust. It's such a glorious thing to have someone to trust who is so trustworthy as you are. And then I thank you that even as we are the messes that we are, you call us to follow you. And you choose to use broken vessels like these to do your good work in the world. May you inspire each of us here to be ready to heed your call and to run off into life following you. I pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.